So what'd you think? That was good. It was what? It was awesome. I've watched it a couple of times, and both times it actually kind of made me tear up just a little bit. I find it pretty amazing. I found myself critical. The guy with the apple, he really thought he was beautiful, all right? And it was like, well, are we doing him a service? Because maybe someone needs to tell him, well, you're okay. Maybe that would have been better. We're taking the pictures we think of people who are just okay, you know? It might have been better. I watched that video, and you know how it is. You come across things on the internet, and you Google things, you know, YouTube things like that. And I was thinking about the power of our words. And I was thinking about, we're working through this thing we call the story, okay? This book here that's a narrative of Scripture and highlights of Scripture and in chronological order. And we've talked a couple of weeks, because there's a whole lot to talk about this character named Moses. What a lot there's a tremendous amount to his life and what he experiences. And as I was reading more of his story this week, it struck me some of the words that come out of his mouth versus some of the words that come from God. And here's the wild thing. As we're going to read here in a second, from the very presence of God. I started thinking about the power of words, and I watched this little video a couple of times, and I realized, here's how powerful those words are. They just used one word. Just one word that got the reaction out of those folks. And that word is beautiful. We're taking pictures of people that we find beautiful. And a reaction just from that one comment. Can I just tell you this real fast, just a little extra part of the sermon here. As I watched some of those people, I found myself going, well, that person's prettier than that person. You didn't do that, okay? I was the only one did that, all right? You know, because you're not near as judgmental as I am, obviously. You guys are amazing. I kind of went, well, that person is kind of pretty. Well, that guy, I like the one guy. He didn't even change his face. He was kind of like, well, I really appreciate that. Can I take your picture? Sure. And I was like, wow, you can at least smile, you know? No smile, nothing. I was thinking about the power of that word, though, and the influence it had in that moment on those lives, and I started thinking about some of the things that Moses said. Sometimes kind of complaining before God, sometimes standing on behalf of the children of Israel, essentially sharing this message: God, if you wipe these people out, what kind of witness is that to those that they left behind? What kind of witness is that of your life? If you wipe them out, Father, to show you as grace. So, show grace. Do that on behalf of God. a lot. Is this thing in and out?
Okay, I'm messing with that. All right.
I love it, okay, because ever since I decided to talk about patience, things have been going wrong, all right?
So now that should be all. There we go. All right, we've punted. There you go. Testify is right. The sermon this morning is on patience, all right? It's on patience. It's on the power of our words. Have you ever, just as a stop, I was thinking about this yesterday on the way to go pick up my mother, who didn't make it to church this morning. So picking her up at the airport as I'm kind of breaking my neck to get there at the time. And if you ever talked to a stoplight, anyone here ever talked to a stoplight? Here's what I usually tell the stoplight. Come on! Can we agree with this? Stoplights have no ability to hear, right? None whatsoever. And yet we find ourselves with words that come out of our mouth. Not in a positive way. Not in an encouraging way. I don't see Moses bragging on the children of Israel. Where does he ever brag on them? A lot of times it's simply, oh God, show your mercy because they're a bunch of complaining people again. And all of this frustration builds up in him and he begins to lose his patience. And here's what I want us to look at. Page 78 in this story here. This is what it says. Now there was no water for the community. The people gathered in opposition to Moses and Aaron. They quarreled with Moses. They're arguing with him, okay? And said, if only we had died when our brothers fell dead before the Lord. If only God would have killed us. That would have been a whole lot better, Moses, than what you're leading us into. And he's only following God's directive. If only God had killed us. Why did you bring the Lord's community into this wilderness that we and our livestock should die here? Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to this terrible place? It has no grain or figs, grapevines or pomegranates, and there's no water to drink. God, you're not meeting my demands. You're not doing this in the way that I thought that you would. After all, I obey you, and here's the contract. I obey you, and you bless me. You meet my needs, and then some. Okay? And you do it in the timing that I want you to do it. And so they are quarreling and complaining. And here's what happens. Moses and Aaron went from the assembly to the entrance to the tent of meeting. What did they do? And they fell face down. So they're exhausted. They're done. You ever been there? I mean, just done. They've had their fill. They've heard the complaints. And they're on their faces before God. And this is what it says. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Do not miss that word, appeared. The glory of God showed up. The one thing that we see throughout Scripture that you and I have the luxury of knowing is this, that God is consistent and faithful, and God will show up, and God will not neglect us, turn his back on us. He's an ever-present help. Period. He is there. We have the luxury of Scripture and being able to look ahead See the provision of God. Know the consistency of His Spirit. We are blessed in that way. The very presence of God shows up while Moses and his brother are on their face at the tent of meeting. The very presence of God shows up because God is gracious. And they need the presence of God. But look closely here, because what we read on here is amazing. We think to ourselves, well, God, if I just had you in a more real form, if you just provided, if there were the figs and the pomegranates, if it was a land of milk and honey, if there were no giants in the land, if there were no obstacles, if I could just get through this health thing, if you would just give me favor in the workplace, if my kids would listen to me, if my spouse would just make me dinner, whatever you want to put in there. Oh, then I would serve you. Then I would love you more. Then I would be more consistent. For Moses and Aaron here, the very presence of God shows up. Okay? Keep that in mind. The Lord said to Moses, take the staff, and you and your brother Aaron gathered the assembly together. Speak to that rock before their eyes, and it will pour out its water. You will bring water out of the rock for the community so they and their livestock can drink. So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the assembly together in front of the rock, and Moses said this to them. Listen to what he says to. Here's what he says to them. Listen, you rebels, must we bring you water out of this rock? Then Moses raised his arm and struck the rock twice with his staff. Water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. That's not what he was told to do, was it? When we were in Israel, and my brother here was in, where are you at? Because I don't have my glasses on. There you are. There you go. So I really can't see anybody right now. But we were in Israel. We were at Mount Carmel, right? Is what you told me, because I forgot the name of the, it was such a hard name to remember. You know what I mean? I'm kind of lost there. You know, I'm walking up this path in Mount Carmel. This young man walks up to me and puts his hand out and says, Pastor Chad. And I just stood there with my mouth open, you know. Didn't really expect to see anybody in Israel. I'm not real big there, okay? I stood on a mountain, Mount Nebo, where Moses dies and he's buried, and we stood there and we looked out over the promised land. And I've always struggled with this. I don't know if you struggle with this or not, but I still struggle with this, okay? God says, Moses, they're going to bury you on this mountain. And you'll see the promised land, but you'll never get to inhabit it. You'll lead these children of Israel, my chosen people, who have mouths on them, that's most definitely true, who complain a lot, who lose sight of me. You'll get to lead them, but you'll not be the one that leads them into that promised land. Because Moses, all of the frustrations in your life built up to this point here, where instead of you following me, you took the staff that I gave you and you smacked the rock. And if it wasn't enough that you did it once, you did it twice. Moses, I told you what to do. I showed you what to do. I spoke to you and made it clear what you are to do. I provided for you. In fact, Moses, here's the scoop. I was going to do that through you, like I've done so many other things. I was going to do that through your life. I went so far as to say, Moses, you're going to be the one that provides them water. As you speak to that rock, you're going to be the one, the life that I will use. You're going to be the one. You'll be my vessel. You'll be my tool. It's obvious my presence is with you. But Moses, you have to obey. And what's Moses do? Here's what got me this week. The presence of God was not enough to get that message across. Here's the one thing I want you to get out of this message this week. Here's the so what moment. I told Josh every week, if Josh is speaking and we talk about his sermon during the week, I'll say, Josh, here's the question you always have to answer in every single message. So what? What difference does that make? I mean, it's, dude, we're going to have some, there's going to be some powerful moments as we look at some lives and some people and what God has done through one organization among many, okay? But at the end of the day, if it's not about transformed lives, if it's not about the preeminence of Jesus and everything we do, the big question even for that organization known as the CMA comes across as, so what? What difference does it make? Here's the difference I want this sermon to make today. Simply this. It's not just the presence of God. It's not just a feeling. It's just not this confirmation that we're always looking for. God, would you confirm your will, confirm your way, confirm your word? He's like, I have given you more than enough. Now, here's what I need you to do. Take the first step. If I tell you to move, move. If I tell you to speak to the rock, speak to the rock. If I tell you to take advantage of my promises and to stand on my word and place your faith in me, now that's exactly what I want you to do. You've got more than enough example, more than enough instruction. Moses, here's what you need. Just speak to the rock and my spirit will move. Honor me. Obey me. Parents, can I just use you an example here that if you're a parent more than, well, I don't know, 15 minutes, you start to get this, okay? There's a tremendous amount of blessing that will come kids' way, okay, that will come right down the line to the kids when the kids obey. When they're not obedient, you know what happens? There's just not as much blessing that goes on in their life. It's amazing how that happens, isn't it? But if they simply listen the first time, and obey, and do it to the extent that they've been asked, there's tremendous blessing that follows up with that. Before we get too judgmental, parents, you know good and well, it's us too. Moses has the very presence of God show up and gives him instruction. And here's what I see. The people at that point, the circumstances at that point, the people that he was leading at that point were bigger than the very presence of God. Do you hear me this morning? The circumstances, the people, the situation was bigger than the very presence and direction of God. That's the so what I want you to get this morning. That's what I want you to do with this morning. That's the reason we come back full circle to this power of our words. I believe our words many times give more credibility, more power, more honor, more weight to our circumstances than they do to God. I believe the words that come out of our mouth carry that kind of impact that somehow, many times, they can begin to belittle God. So what's Moses do when he gets in front of these circumstances again, all these people? He says, "You rebels. That's who you are." It's him. You can see him striking this rock with the staff. It's just nothing but the culmination of all of his frustration with what? The circumstance. The people. That's where his eyes were at that moment. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. When you have your eyes simply on people and on the circumstances in your life, and your gaze stays on people, they will let you down. Absolutely. Somebody at some point, when your faith is based on the people, on their response, on their words, on their action, sometimes it's inaction. Why didn't they do that for me? How could they forget me? When your eyes are on people, you're going to get let down. In this moment, the very presence of God and His Word and His direction is not enough. The people outweigh the very presence of God. Moses gets frustrated and strikes the rock. So what's the big deal? Josh raised a very powerful point last week as we went over his sermon, talked about his sermon, things like that. I can't remember what the point was. We're talking about a tangible God. He said, "I took one point, one side, he took the other." Of course, we know I was right. Okay, so, you know, he'll get there. Okay. I was so encouraged to make a joke, now I've completely forgot what I was just about to say. Man, that's pathetic. I'm serious. It's completely gone. Okay, I have no idea where I was going with it. I apologize for that. Note that, Josh. The very presence of God. Yeah, I am on Facebook Live. It's for the whole world there. Okay, so okay. The very presence of God is not enough for Moses. It's the power of our words and what we confess, the circumstances that we create, whether they are bigger than God Himself. I do have some discussion questions for us today. I want to hit them real fast. What do you believe concerning the power of our words? I mean, there are some people, there's a name it and claim it, prosperity kind of gospel that we just live enough positive thoughts and stuff, God's going to pour out His blessings and He's going to make you wealthy and everything else and stuff. And there are people that take the power of our words and take them too far. There are other people that don't think our words really mean all that much. What do you think about the power of words? Do our words launch self-fulfilling prophecies? I see Moses complaining a whole lot about these people that he has to lead. But I don't see him necessarily being an encouragement to them, bragging on their obedience. It's usually just pleading on behalf of their rebellion, and he truly, he sees them as rebels. And it comes out at that end. As a follower of Christ, which is more motivational, the emotion in our heart or the intellect in our mind? I wonder which one Moses was experiencing most when he struck the rock. Was it a matter of heart? Was he that hurt and that frustrated, that disappointed, that angry, that emotional? Or, I know what the point was now, Josh. You had a very good point, and it just came back to me, okay? Josh said last week, well, they've been forgiven so many times before. What's not to think that God wouldn't just forgive them again? That's a great point. He's a gracious God. He's totally tolerant of our behavior, right? Well, in this case, when Moses doesn't, when it's the presence of God isn't enough, God tells him, said, listen, Moses, you and your brother, you will not, you can see the land, you're not going to enter into it. That's it. And God draws a line. And we're not so sure we like to think of God as drawing a line. That's concerning, but maybe we find that simply motivational to think about the very words that come out of our mouth. Just like that video talked about one simple little word and how it could bring some of the young ladies to instant tears when someone said, we're taking pictures of people that we find beautiful. One word touched a heart, changed a heart, was a different perspective, just like that. My encouragement, the so what for you today is simply this. Get your eyes on the what God has to say about your life. And see your life through the very Word of God and what the Word of God has to say about your life. How God views your life. Don't base your faith just on the lives of others. Don't keep your gaze simply at the people and the circumstances, the situations, the story, the past. Don't keep your gaze simply horizontal. But your gaze has got to become vertical. And then you take the Word, you take Him at His Word. Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank You that we get to live out this message of patience and focus, horizontal versus vertical focus, Lord. Circumstances that can loom larger than You and what Your Word says, but Father, help us put that in perspective. We have Your very Word to us. We have the beginning, middle, and end of the story. And we can see Your faithfulness, Father, in our lives. Father, let that be more than enough. Let that be more than enough. Fix our gaze on You. You would be our sufficiency. Father, we want all that You have promised for us, but we want the promise giver so much more than we want the promises. Bless our time of discussion now, Father. Use us as iron sharpens iron to take these questions and to be honest with each other and to embrace those questions that come out of this topic. Father, do that work in us so that we're even closer to You, and we love You even more. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you're here for the first time today, we close our service. We like to tell people we open our service in circles around the breakfast table because we value that discussion and getting to know people and spending some time, and we just enjoy the fellowship that is the body of Christ. We end our service in a little different way. We end our service in circles as well. There's a couple of groups that meet in here. You're welcome to join one of those groups, some others in the other places in the building. But we take the sermon and we ask just two or three questions. You don't have to be embarrassed. You don't have to say a single word. No one calls on anybody and says, hey, what do you think? But if there are questions that you have, we believe that discussing the Word of God is one of the greatest ways that these things become real in our lives and that we grow in our lives. So we value that discussion time. I have some questions for each group. They're here on the front chair, and make sure you get some of those this morning. God bless you. You are dismissed. We'll enter into a time of discussion before we go home and eat some lunch. God bless.
Days will come when you don't have the strength. When all you hear is you're not worth anything. Wondering if you ever could be loved. And if they truly saw your heart, they'd see too much. You're beautiful.